This conference will now be recorded.
All right, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our March 21st, 2024 Citizens Ethics Advisory Board meeting. We will begin with a roll call. Beth Cook.
Here.
Mary Bigelow.
Here.
Charles Chuasano.
Here.
Jason Farrell.
Here.
Thomas Jones. Cheryl Ipsen.
Here.
Laura Schuyler. I do not see Laura.
You can get over.
All right.
Counter offer.
Oh. All right, so first order of business is the approval of the minutes from the February 15th, 2024 regular meeting. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you, Charles. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining?
I abstain. It's Jason.
Jason, all right. That motion passes. Thank you. In terms of my report, we do need a hearing officer for...
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Well, I wasn't talking to you. We need a hearing officer for May 9th. Oh, Laura's here. Please let the record reflect that Laura Schuyler has joined us, so now we have full attendance. So May 9th, thank you, Beth. And April 11th is the upcoming hearing. I believe Cheryl is the primary and I'm on backup. All right. I don't have anything else for my report, unless Peter, do you think I missed it? Charles, do you want to review the UConn Faculty Consulting Oversight Committee report for us?
I would be happy to.
Thank you.
Everyone received the copy of the report and the dissemination of it to everybody in the state. I hope you had a chance to review it. It's an annual event that is done with UConn. UConn is one of the largest medical research universities in the United States. And for years, they've had to make sure that they monitor what's going on with the people who are doing the research, the number of hours, so that they're not using up university time for private research. Special reports is research for foreign entities. And all of that has to go through a computer system that has been changed three times over the years that I've been on the review board for UConn. And each time they have made it better. And we always start out in January with an email just asking everybody when they're available. First meeting was held January 31st this year, where we reviewed all of the drafts from the university and from the auditors who were reviewing everything. On February 6th, there was an email of the final draft, which is the document that everybody got. And it was approved on February 21st by all of the board members who are reviewing. And it's something that is required by state law. The Faculty Consulting Oversight Committee is the oversight board. And if you had a chance to read it, you'll see that they're really hung up on acronyms. The FCOs and the OVCRs and the EVPRP. And so reading it will give you a headache. But they do a good, thorough job. They are very cognizant of their responsibility for reporting to us anything that borders on unethical conduct. And I believe they did make a report to Mark last year about one doctor. That was not something that had to be done. He had already left the system. So there was nothing that we could do about it. But they are aware of that, and they do take a good job of doing that. So I'm happy with their results. And they've been very good at it for years. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions for Charles. Charles, I'd like to thank you for your continued service on this committee. You have been working on this particular committee as long as I've been on this board. So it's great to have that consistency there. Thank you for your work. All right. I will turn it over to General Counsel Brian O'Dowd from Legal Division.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, board members. Brian O'Dowd for the record. I don't have anything to add to the legal division report. You should have it in front of you. If you have any questions about it or any of the inquiries that we answered, I'd be happy to answer the questions.
Questions for Brian? All right. Very good. Thank you, Brian. Now on to the enforcement division report from Mark Wazalewski.
Thank you, Chair Castro. Good afternoon, board. Mark Wazalewski for the record. As the enforcement report indicates, we're at the tail end of our third and fourth quarter initiatives, and we've docked 37 matters, collected $2,410 in penalties, and we're now down to 2 matters. You will be presented with a counter offer soon on one of those matters, and in the other pending matter, the lobbyist has recently filed, and an offer hasn't made, and we're going to see if they want to do a counter offer, but we're hoping they just settle, like most of these cases have done. So the active hearing date for April 11th is still active, but hopefully we will not have any hearings go forward. And if you have any questions about the enforcement report, I'll be glad to address them.
Questions for Mark on the enforcement? Thank you. Hearing none, we can move on to the audits. We're going to first do the discussion of counter offers.
Yes.
And I believe I need to excuse myself because I am back up.
And Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Cheryl is online, so.
We can call her when.
Yes, we'll call her.
I'll bring
Cheryl, if you could leave the meeting for a few minutes.
I have to leave the meeting?
You're the hearing officer.
You're the hearing officer.
And they're discussing a matter. Don't worry.
How about if I mute and I leave?
I'll call you back to.
And we could also mention on the record that the relevant members of the legal division have also left the meeting.
That's right.
Do you want me to leave the meeting, Peter, or can I just leave the room?
As long as you can leave the room and not listen to the conversation, that will be fine. That's just.
Need to leave?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
I'm not dialing back in.
We mute ourselves.
Not doing it.
Can we mute? Well, the only thing is we have a respondent on.
Yeah, we can.
But she can boot her individually, I'm sure.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, mute her.
We're good.
You're good. I guess it's me, huh?
It's all the technological stuff.
He's presenting my offer.
Okay, so I should present. Okay, so good afternoon, board members. My name is Adrian Barron, Office of Enforcement. This is in regards to the matter of pro-choice, which is docketed under 2024-08-UL. Basically, pro-choice failed to timely file their 2023 third, fourth quarter ETH 2D report by January 10th. We set notice of a hearing scheduled for March 14th. They did eventually file on February 29th, which amounts to 50 days late, and at $10 a day, came out to a $500 fine that was offered to them. Pro-choice did not pay the fine, and on March 14th, Polly Moran from the organization submitted a counter offer. Also mentioned that they terminated the registration October 3rd, 2023.
Can you go over the dates again? I'm sorry.
Sure. So they were supposed to file by January 10th, 2024, with a hearing scheduled for March 14th. They filed on February 29th, which was 50 days late. We continued the hearing to April 11th. And on March 14th, Pro-Choice submitted a counteroffer, which I believe Ms. Moran is present to present to the board.
And when did they stop operating?
They terminated the registration October 3rd, 2023.
What was, how much in dollars was the activity in 2023?
I don't have that in front of me, but I believe it was around $10,000.
Do they do their own lobbying in-house, or they have a communicator?
They had an in-house communicator who left the organization. They never updated the registration with a new person. And it's my understanding Ms. Moran stepped in as a former president of the organization, but she stepped in as a volunteer. Ms. Moran, are you present?
Has there been a template for this type of behavior in the past? Do we have a
Reviewing the records in the last 3 years, there have been late filings from this organization.
I meant broadly, do we give, do we bless counteroffers at this level for similar type of situations?
We entertain them. We don't have to bless them.
I believe they've been entertained. I haven't been with the office long enough, but I believe that I don't recall, I don't see anything where there's an organization that terminated registration.
The counteroffer is?
Zero.
Zero.
That's not going to happen.
What kind of communication goes from here to then when there's been like a lot of turnover with staff? So I'm just wondering.
We sent certified mail, emails. We contacted whoever was registered. And then when we didn't get response from that person, we followed up with whatever was available. And Ms. Moran was kind enough to step in.
So we did multiple?
Multiple attempts, yes.
Jeez. Oh,
quick question. Hi, everyone. It's Jason. A note that I noticed in the counteroffer sort of referred to the notion that were this fine to be enforced, individuals would be personally coming out of their pockets to cover that fine. Is that what would happen? I mean, were there no bank accounts, were there no resources available to this organization, would individuals then be liable for this?
I believe Ms. Moran would be better suited to answer that question.
That's their allegation. That's their allegation. We don't know.
That's what I mean. Well, as a general practice, like it just, you know, are they protected by the organization or will it fall on individuals is the question.
My understanding is from what they've indicated is that there's no resources available, that they don't have a board. They no longer have any members. The group has disbanded and Ms. Moran is in this now as a volunteer trying to resolve everything. And I will give her credit for taking the initiative to file after she was informed that this was still necessary, even though they terminated the registration.
I think what Jason's getting at though, is does liability go to the individual versus the organization?
Correct.
But wasn't the organization rolled into another organization?
I did contact the other, there was another organization that's similar, but I was told that they were not a successor organization, although it's my understanding that some of the resources from one organization went to the other. However, I don't have any information on financials.
Didn't the executive director from the predecessor organization become an officer of the subsequent one?
I don't know her position at the new Apple, but I believe she is a director.
And then you mentioned briefly a history of late filings. If at some point you could review those for me too.
Jason, say again.
Sorry, you had referenced a history of perhaps, I don't know how many, but late filings in the past. Can you review those?
If I could just mention, in 2023, the lobbying expenses they incurred were $10,232. So that was what, thank you. I believe the question was their filings. I believe the March first quarter filing in 2023 was around 8 days late. There was a filing of March first quarter, June 2nd, 2022, that was also late. It was due on April 10th. They filed June 2nd. And a June 2nd quarter, 2022, there was a late filing. Of, I believe, 15 days.
When they were active, who did the filings?
There was an individual, Liz Gustafson, who was the registered director for this.
Were penalties assessed?
Left the organization. I believe there was a penalty assessed of $125. Moment. Second quarter of 2022, they filed 15 days late, and they accepted a settlement offer of $150.
So of the three or four instances noted, one fine?
I believe so. I don't know if I can mark through that.
So what was the question?
Of the three or four instances of late filing, it resulted in one penalty? Or one penalty emanated out of those instances?
I will have that information now.
I believe one of their matters was a grace period matter in which there was no penalty assessed in that instance. And then you have the one where they paid the $150.
Yes. The second quarter of 2022.
My question remains. The director who left and went to the new organization, she wanted the people who were on the hook financially. There was a fine levied.
Oh, that's a question more for legal.
That I don't know off the top of my head. And I don't know, I don't know all the facts that are involved here, so I couldn't give an answer. I mean, I think at this point, the board just needs to determine whether it wants to issue or accept the counteroffer. If not, then, and we go forward, then who's going to be responsible? But I don't think that's a question that needs to be answered at this point.
And the counteroffer is zero, right? Correct?
I believe so.
And Ms. Moran is present.
Okay.
I think she's having trouble with her mic. Can you hear us?
She thinks she's muted on her end.
Are we muted by
no,
chance?
No. We can hear Jason. No. So. She said she can.
She can hear us?
And we can't hear her.
Stop the.
To the board members who are here, you can ask them if they want them.
I have an email of the counteroffer if the board members would like to review.
That was sent out to us.
Okay.
Ms. Moran, could you speak up? We can't hear you. Are you muted?
I think it's.
If you look to the right, she can hear us.
She can hear. Yeah, she can hear us. But
does she want to call in on the phone line, the cell phone?
I wanted to tell her. I don't want that to.
Yeah, actually, the telephone would work. So.
I can.
Yeah.
Do you want me to give you my number to have? Tell her to call in, then I can, or she'll call the.
Unless she's on her phone.
If she calls.
Webex.
Number that.
That'd be.
Looks like it is a phone, huh?
Adrian, she's the only one that's currently attached to the organization, right?
I believe so. I was contacted by Liz Gustafson, requesting that I not contact her anymore.
You tell her fine. We just have a policeman at your door. You can talk to him.
And Ms. Moran was she volunteered to try to resolve this.
So it does seem like there are two separate issues, one just the counteroffer itself, and one they have to shell out their own cash. But it seems like that might be a question for their lawyer, like the organization's lawyer.
They should be able, no matter what we do, if they have to pay out of their own pocket, let's do that through their organization.
Yeah.
Try and receive reimbursement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't
think that's an issue for us. Are we looking to connect with Ms. Moran? I'm online here, so I can't tell what's happening. Are we still trying to hear from her? Or are we? in discussions about what to do.
Yes. Trying to.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
Be on standby.
Realistically, we could be. And whoever was attached, and then we would prevail.
She's calling. Whose number do we just leave?
Please, obviously, have them call.
The meeting number.
Meeting number, okay.
I'm just aiming. I'm not particularly concerned. Wants to go west.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm sympathetic. More than trust or something, but not ready.
But each of them.
But I can get you that.
Their dissolution, so they're still an organization.
Isn't it a warranty?
We had a similar case.
Yeah, it was.
We have.
Good, went into bankruptcy.
A lot of times the auditors.
That's what I was trying to think, parallel. It was bankrupt, what happened to the judgment.
So Liz Gustafson was the person registered. However, after the.
I think I'm in.
Terminated.
There may be a bit of an echo. Okay, good. I'm muted.
She's got to mute her meeting.
Okay.
Unmuted.
I'm muted on my end. Uh-oh. I'll get away from my phone. I'm on a different phone. Should I just go off and just listen through the landline?
Yeah.
That's probably better.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna hang up. All right, I'm just on the landline now.
Button thing.
Perfect. That works.
Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. Just an important thing to just,
yes.
Let folks know that we stopped working as an organization as of July 1st. So no further activity occurred, even though I guess Liz must have submitted paperwork. I've never been an employee of this organization. I've only been a volunteer, but as we were closing things up, we had a pro bono group helping us, and I guess they didn't realize or they never let any of us know that we had to. I mean, I didn't even know this paperwork existed. So anyways, we're trying to close up shop and finding all these little pieces like storage rooms that we have to now pay out of pocket, but we don't have any more money. So another gentleman and I have been kind of trying to close up stuff. So we were hoping, you know, I appreciate the work that you do and the understanding that organizations have commitments to the state for transparency and all of that. But we really haven't done any work since July 1st. Liz did go on to be hired by this other organization. So I think she's hired under them, and I'm sure they'll be paying whatever they have to do. But anyways, that is kind of the, you know, since July 1st, we've been not working. We don't have a board anymore. Yeah, so I didn't even know anything was happening until Liz contacted me and said, hey, this is late, and, you know, that's when I got involved.
Hey, thanks for being here. A quick question. This is Jason. I'm also remote. Are you aware of the history of late filings of the organization, that this isn't the first one, and it's been sort of frequent over the last 3 years?
According to
I'm not, just because I'm like a board foundation head. I'm not even on the lobbyist side of things. So I didn't know what the commitment of the organization ever had been, or, you know, maybe bad me. But, you know, we used to be a little more robust. We used to have a ED, a staffer, and interns. With the coming of COVID, we actually closed down the office. Liz used a PO box, so you know, I didn't get anything from that. We have maybe like $200 right now in the bank, but we have a $600 storage fee that we have to pay too. So between everything, that's not your problem, obviously, but that's, you know, anyways, that's our reality. And so it really would come out of pocket, which we'll figure out and survey the board and see who wants to put in some money to the, if that's what you all decide, but just to give you the, you know, our scoop.
Just in case nobody heard the question I asked, it was, have they gone through full dissolution through the Secretary of State's office yet? And
it's being done right now. The pro bono.
My understanding, and if I don't want.
I was told the pro bono.
Speaking?
I think I'm with that process.
But it hasn't been completed.
I don't.
Well, when we got the counteroffer of zero, I replied that I would cut it in half. I remain committed to $250. But I'm just one voice. So let's see what the rest of the board says.
I align with Charles.
I'm in favor of going to zero.
I'm fine with that, but I think she should contact the pro bono lawyer about who has to pay.
Yeah. I mean, just as a general comment.
The former director is now with Reproductive Equity.
Which is the subsequent.
My perspective is just one voice is Charles.
Again,
is
Jason.
Just one voice. Yes, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not compelled to adjust our standards because of the chaotic nature of either a closing or a board or anything like that. I mean, we have these standards in place for a reason, and, you know, nothing I've heard compels me to want to adjust to that. I can see ratcheting it down a little bit, but yeah, that's me.
Anybody else?
I'm on board with Charles. The only thing that I would add is it might be not persuasive, but impactful if postponed it a month and they were able to come back with some tangible evidence of poverty, that if their books say that they have $0, I might be able to go lower. I'm not willing to say zero.
Yeah, I'm not ready to carry it over. It's been going on for a while already, and there's an obligation, and the fact that the person who had the obligation or was aware of the obligation left without telling other people is not our issue.
Cheryl's back.
Cheryl's got to come off.
No. Did I not be back?
I'm calling in.
Cheryl, could you hold off?
No.
Can I call you back when we're done?
Do you want to call me? That would be fine, Peter. Okay, bye.
Adrian, do you want me to go off and you'll just send me whatever the board decides?
Next hearing date.
No, she can hang on. If you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, feel free.
I mean, I hear everybody's point of view and I totally get it. I think, this was unfortunate. But I think we have been a little victimized by, not victimized, but a product of the lovely pandemic, in that people left, that organization shrunk, we were doing it out of the house, blah, blah, blah. So I think a lot of, you know, some of the, what would have normally been information that would have been more readily available, they just, you know, those types of relationships had no longer continued. You know, I think you all are doing your due diligence, and we'll have to just do whatever I think you come up with. You know, just as a board member, you know, it obviously we are all responsible to boards that we choose to sit on. At the same time, we want involved citizenry, and if there are screw-ups at the structural level that the board ends up having to pay for, it feels a little like, how do people get involved in boards if it ends up being dumped on their lap? And I get that's not your fault at all. That's the organization's fault. So I don't know how that, you know, that's kind of, you know, as a board member, I think, oh my gosh, if I'm going to have to pay for this, that really is a disincentive to become involved. On the other hand, I understand from the committee's point of view, there are, you know, you do have a process and you want people to respect that. And that's why you have certain standards. So it's, you know, it's an interesting dilemma that you get to all weigh in on.
Do we have more questions? Anybody else have a counter? We're at 250.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's probably time for the board to take a vote on this.
This is actually, we're not taking an official vote. This is more a recommendation to enforcement. So it's not a formal vote on the record.
With the history of frequent late filings, I stick at 250.
I used the wrong word, Peter, so thank you. Yeah, I'll stay with 250.
I'm comfortable with 250.
I'll say that too.
I'm in line with that.
Okay.
Hi.
There's our.
Thank you, board.
I will be back. Thank you, Ms. Moran.
Okay, thank you all. And someone will get back to me.
Yes.
Just in terms of how we have to, where we send.
I'll contact you, Ms. Moran, with the information.
Okay, all right, thank you. Bye-bye. I'm hanging up now, is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you all, take care, bye-bye.
You too, bye.
Cheryl is about to join us, so.
More curious.
No, do you want to make that?
People.
Oh, yeah, I thought you asked about later.
So we covered discussions of calendar.
Yes, just curious about that. Close it up. It's like an infringement. If I say, well, the past week, I think I'm laughing, guys, out of court.
She come back.
Big recollection.
Sheriff.
This. Kind of.
She came back in the middle when she wasn't supposed to.
I think she was offended. I don't think she understood, someone should have reminded her before the meeting that I'm going to ask you to get off.
She's back.
Cheryl, can you hear us?
I think we lost the opportunity to have her by video.
I heard her munching on a sandwich the entire discussion. Right there.
Cheryl?
Yes. Oh, I think it was.
Cheryl, can you hear us?
Peter has to call her.
No, she's there.
No, she's on the screen, it's just, because I just talked to her.
Yeah, she walked out of the room, remember?
No, I know, I just talked to her. She's rejoining us.
I'll be patient.
I wonder what's going on over there.
Is there any?
She's not muted, but I think there is some delay going on. Diane says she has experienced it.
It's like, if they were late this time, you don't have any money.
I'm so sick of
these. But you're still an organization, still active.
Setups.
And how much time you waste with technical issues.
Get all my registrations. For the last 5 times.
Yeah.
Even if they deregister. Go on team view or instant. Because I've seen, you know, I've got the team view. And immediately says, sir, you.
See ya.
We're using it.
This one, this is third and fourth quarter, but it's also. So she was trying to say, we weren't even getting active. Okay, can I put you on a speaker on this phone? So, okay, so if you stay on the phone and I'll put you on that speaker so you can hear the.
How much money went over?
Yeah, we'll do that. All right. Cheryl, you're on the speaker right now, so. All right.
All right, very good. Thank you for handling that, folks. We are now on the client lobbyist audit report. Mark Creighton.
Thank you. For the record, Mark Creighton, board members, in your packet, you have the ASB Council 4 audit report. There's one finding, a late 2020 third and fourth quarter, which was due on or before January 10th, 2021. They filed it 4 days late. That is the only finding. Happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Any questions for Mark? All right, can I get a motion to approve the lobbyist audit report for ASB Council?
I'll move.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining? That motion passes. Thank you, Mark. Back to you.
And
Is this Carol that's doing the next one? No, it's still Mark. Okay.
Cheryl needs to mute her computer.
Cheryl, what was your vote on the AFSCME?
It's fine.
Oh, okay. All right.
You can ask her to mute that.
Cheryl, could you mute your phone and we'll keep you on?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mark, thank you.
Okay, next we have the communicator and lobbyist audit report for Pino, Nunez, and Meggs. There are no findings, but again, I'm happy to answer questions that might be in.
Any questions on the no findings? All right. Can I get a motion to approve the audit report on Pino, Nunez, and Biggs? Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining?
Aye.
Thank you. And Cheryl may have come in late on that. I'm not sure what the vote was.
Cheryl, your vote on the DePino, Nunez, and Biggs?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark.
And finally, you have the audit report for consensus. Again, no findings with this audit report, and I'm happy to answer questions if there might be.
Questions for Mark? All right. Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the audit report for consensus?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Was it an abstention or an opposition, Jason?
Aye. It was in favor.
Jason, can you just clarify? Thank you.
In favor.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep the record clear, folks. All right, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jason. All right, then we will move on to Sarah Clark for our education communications report.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chair Castro. It's good to see you at the head of the table. We appreciate Beth's service for the past 2 months with us here in the flesh. I want to wish all of you a happy National Ethics Awareness Month. We have 11 valiant days left of our very own dedicated month. And the governor's office is reviewing a communication that I drafted for them to send out to all state employees, but I have yet to get confirmation that they plan to send it out. So hopefully they'll send it out accompanied with graphics and some fun stuff from the agency. The SFI filing is 41 short days away. So thank you to those of you who have completed your obligations and to those of you who are still outstanding, which is always, you know, you're all outstanding in my opinion. But for those of you whose filings are still outstanding, I'll be in very close contact with you over the next month or so. Our lobbyist and liaison newsletters went out and were very well received. The SFI questions are coming in fast and furious. We're doing good work with the legal unit as well as Al and Ann to clear out sort of the data that's just out of date. So we turn over staff, new designated employees, all of that work is being done behind the scenes. We have newly posted the new updated standard standards and guidelines for SFI filing that has a brand new letter from Governor Lamont's office, which they did approve, which we drafted. So that was exciting. So that's all up and it's new and refreshed. We've been conducting a number of trainings, including the Office of the State Comptroller, State Treasurer, and the Town of Newington. I have been fortunate to accompany our executive director across the street for legislative session during GAE committee meetings and public hearings, and we've been very well received, and you'll get more in the legislative report. And we have a number of upcoming trainings that were listed in my written report. And thanks to Stay Tuned for our, we have an article from our office that's going to be going in the May issue of The Guardian for COGOL. And we are going to be, I'm embarking, which is going to be a long process, but revamping the online training available to state employees and public officials. And the lobbyist guide, I promise, Brian, is headed to you shortly. So those are the things on my immediate to-do list, and I'm happy to answer any questions, or if you have anything that you need from me, I'm all ears.
Well, clearly you have nothing to do. Thank you. Questions for Sarah?
This is the second month in a row training at a town. Are we starting to get see that come through a little more?
I think yeah, we got
town, when towns call and ask for help, Newington specifically, they're having issues because their board wasn't operating. It was more of the enforcement process. Understand how this needs, you don't, the complaint comes in and that doesn't automatically mean that somebody did something wrong. You need to wait for the investigation to flesh out, sort of walk through their process. So in a non-jurisdictional manner to walk them through what their policy means, and a lot of ways, similar to West Haven, it's easier for their town staff to say, this is how the state is doing it. So they're going to explain to you how they think we to do this. And then that gives them a little bit better ground to stand on as they try to keep their board, you know, where it's not being influenced by their sitting mayor or sitting, you know, board members alone.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, we're trying to get municipals to get involved. So I think it's wonderful.
And municipalities do pay attention to, you know, our website. We have resources. We also have, you know, in this proceeding, we talk about municipal ethics, and they do reach out. So they also talk to each other. You know, suggestions are made. We'll contact the Office of State Ethics.
That's great.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Now we're on to our executive director, Peter Lewandowski, for his report.
Thank you. Just a few updates. First and foremost, on our construction, it's officially over. We're back in our offices as of early March, and we're back in our old spots, you know, renovated and refurbished. The exterior work still has to be completed. We're still working on some drainage, but that I've been told will be completed by mid-April. So eventually, the western wall of the building, they currently have steel plates over the window grate, so that will be removed by daylight. Right now, as I pointed out, we're like Vegas. Now it's dark. And it's dark, and you can't really see, but once that's removed, and again, we're told by mid-April. Now, moving on, state auditors are continuing their work of the state audits for fiscal year 2022 and 2023. And staff's been working with state auditors to provide information. So as I mentioned, I think last month, we don't anticipate the completion of this audit probably the end of the year. So the actual report will be in 2025 for the fiscal years. On the budget front, I've been informed by the appropriations members that that overseas watchdog agencies and other agencies that the recommended adjustments to our fiscal year 2025 have been approved or recommended to the full appropriations committee. So it seems like we'll get what we've asked for fiscal year 2025. On the flip side, I've been informed that there is a bill pending right now, and I'm working with my counterparts of information. There's a bill, House Bill 5049, that is making deficiency adjustments to various agencies, and a number of agencies have been asked to fork over X amount of dollars. But the strange part about it is that the numbers are based on projected surpluses early in the fiscal year. And at that time, we had a vacancy. We were in the process of searching for an attorney position that the agent assumed. And another thing is actually Freedom of Information is dealing with. So they're basing these numbers on the vacancies. We fill those vacancies. And the reason why they're doing is because other agencies have some deficiencies. So the silly exercise of this is they're trying to plug the deficiencies and agencies by placing agencies such as OSC, Freedom of Information, Secretary of the State, into deficiencies. So it is kind of, it makes no sense whatsoever. I think appropriations co-chairs are aware of it because there's been a reaction to it. It's not, you have to have better numbers to work with, because if you are basing deficiency projections in the early part of the fiscal year, things change. Agencies refill vacancies, all kinds of things can happen.
Has that been scheduled for a hearing yet?
It is scheduled for tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So,
and you'll be testifying?
Obviously, we're not slated to submit full testimony, but I'll be submitting written testimony in opposition. And Colleen Murphy, my counterpart on Freedom of Information, is doing so as well. So I assume other agencies will be doing that as well. But again, and this is just for this current fiscal year. This is just, you know, for the year that is ending, you know, at the end of June.
That makes no sense.
So it does, but that's just on that flip side. But again, in terms of adjustments for 2025, we're in good shape. So that's it on the budget front. In terms of SFI filing season, as Sarah pointed out, we're in the full swing of things. The reminders are going out, and as of today, we have 2,839 required filers. And I checked with Ann Morgan. This is the highest number of required filers we've had since 2005. So it always hovered around 2,500 over the years, but with the outreach to ethics liaisons, with recognition of who should be really designated, that number has gone up. So that's good, and we'll continue our outreach to ethics liaisons to make sure that these filers do submit their SFIs, and with your own filing, we'll be ready to provide. So that's it on my report, and then I'll probably move on to legislative stuff.
I think Sarah has a comment.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Just got an email. The governor will be sending out an email to all state employees tomorrow.
Very good. Yeah. You'll forward that on to us so we can see what that looks like.
Will do.
Great. All right.
All right, Peter. So now with
legislative update. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So. Of our proposals have been raised by the GE committee. I had the opportunity to testify in public hearings on March 4th and 8th on five bills that contain our proposals. And I'll quickly just go by each bill. You know, Senate Bill 55 contains our municipal ethics conflicts of interest provision. This is the only bill that had some opposition, and the opposition was raised by COST and CCM. And I had an opportunity to talk to Betsy Guerra and Mandy Collins. We had a teleconference or video conference. We've talked about, you know, I tried to understand their about it, and it's kind of interesting. It's focused on particular issues. One is requiring every municipality to submit a copy of the conflicts of interest provision to us, and like the fact that we don't have jurisdiction. And I suggested, well, why don't we have COST and CCM facilitate work with us, so maybe they can encourage it's you know, their members to submit a copy. And I said, you know, that the whole point of this is to increase public awareness, to have a one-stop shop, to have members of the public access, you know, in one location to all these various conflicts of interest provisions. We're not imposing any penalties on or suggesting any penalties on municipalities that may not comply. But that's the reasoning behind that provision. So we may adjust that provision of the bill. I'll work with co-chairs and ranking members. The other thing is they also want to nudge, they mean COST and CCM, want to nudge the their members who do not have anything in place to actually adopt a conflict of interest provision. They have a list. Actually, the co-chair of the GAE committee during my testimony asked me to run the list of towns that do not have anything in place. So I've listed them in the public hearing. You know, we'll see where this goes. Hopefully, we can tweak this bill so it can move forward. It still has to be voted on by the GAE committee. I believe they're meeting tomorrow, but we don't know the agenda yet as to whether this bill will be on the agenda. The deadline is next week on Wednesday.
Does CCM provide a model for a conflict of interest?
No. They CCM,
We do.
And the model, the interesting thing is the language was tweaked by LCO and I think the co-chairs, because the language and actual bill is different than what we've initially proposed. It actually mirrors our existing conflict of interest provision. And Betsy, in her testimony, noted that, well, the state code is, in many respects, is not as strict when it comes to conflicts as some other towns, because some other towns, for example, extend their conflicts to outside employment.
Sure.
And we're just, yeah, that's fine. And I said, you know, we're not trying to create a uniform conflicts of interest provision. As long as a town has something, they can tailor their conflict of interest provision to their own needs.
Are they aware of the fact that we have this listing? It's available on our website already. So, I mean, what's different about submitting in a conflict of interest statement for us?
I pointed that out, but yeah. We do have a designated
part.
But I mean, I will continue to work with CCM and COST to hopefully kind of finesse this this bill so hopefully it will advance. Our other bills, the contracting quasi-public, creating an open and public process for contracting quasi-publics, that already got up the committee, was unanimously approved. There was some support testimony from quasi-public actually on that for the first time on the record. So hopefully this will, last year it passed in the Senate, hopefully it will also pass in the House, we'll see. Our perennial also got out of the conflicts of interest bill that would extend conflicts to other employment. Senate Bill 260 also got out of the committee unanimously. So did the Bill 261 dealing with statements of financial interests, expanding the required boards that would be required. SFIs, that got out of the committee unanimously. And finally, unanimous approval of House Bill 5407, defining the term dependent child and our jurisdiction, clarification of our jurisdiction with respect to Part 4 of the ethics codes. Finally, last item I want to raise is the committee raised a Senate Bill 434, which would increase certain monetary thresholds under the codes of ethics. So I testified stating that, you know, these are reasonable increases and we're fine with them in light of the fact that it's been almost 30 years since thresholds were amended, and also you know, in recognition of inflationary increases over the years. So actually, Brian and Marianne reviewed that bill and they checked, Marianne specifically checked for inflation and these thresholds, the proposed thresholds, new thresholds are very close or similar to current inflation, that is. So, for example, token items that are currently at $10 will increase to $20. Beverage exemption will increase to $100. The plaque, memorial plaque limit from $100 to $200. And legislative receptions will also increase from $50 to $100. Oh, major life event, thank you. Major life event was increased or is being increased to $1,500 from $1,000. So that's the thresholds. The open and public process also under 1-84I for contracting with the state is being increased from 100 to 200, which again, most state contracts are well over $200 figure anyway. So this bill undoubtedly will get out of the committee, it will be advanced. That's where things are on the legislative front.
Thank you. Any questions for Peter on that? All right, so by the next board meeting, we should have a much better idea of which of our proposals are more likely to.
Absolutely. I think, you know, our next meeting is on the 18th. You know, a lot of stuff happens at the end of the session. The session ends May 8th. So we'll definitely see what's on the calendar moving towards. I'll have an idea of what is gaining traction, whether in the Senate or in the House. It's more involved process in the House because obviously it's a bigger chamber and they rarely put things on consent calendar.
Right.
Getting stuff out of the House is more. But I'll definitely another update next month.
Good. Thank you for your work on that. All right. Any questions for Peter? We have reached the public comment portion of our meeting, and so I'll be silent for a moment to allow anyone who wishes to comment. All right. Hearing nothing, we will. We do not need a closed.
No, I don't.
We do not need a closed session. We do need an executive session to discuss the evaluation of the executive director pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes 1-6A. Can I get a motion for us to move executive session? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are in executive session, folks. Thank you. So those who are on the line other than Cheryl, how are we going to talk to Cheryl?
So I'm going to call her again, if unless she can try.
Using the other link.
Yes.
Oh, you're using the other. Right. So Jason, there's an executive session link.
You guys
have to log
in.
So you have to visit me online and log in. And Cheryl, too. He's talking to Cheryl right now. Circular comments board, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right.